Okay. We're rolling. Welcome to episode number 14 of Off Angle.
Yep.
We are here a few days removed from our camp over in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yep.
This is probably when I should thank our sponsors.
If you would like to.
We don't have many. First and foremost, big shout out to Vita Era. Again, they yep. came in as a big sponsor for us. So Rodney Cooper with Vita Era, can't thank you enough. Perform Better, again, providing all our kids with bands. On our website, we've got discount code for both Vita Era and Perform Better. Who am I missing? This is usually when you come in.
Vita Era, Perform Better.
That might be it, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was great. So big shout out and thank you to them and our listeners. Support them as much as you can.
Yeah. It's awesome. We recommend both of those.
Yes, we do. Rodney's a great guy. I mean, obviously, Vita Era, he's I believe they've been in business. Well, I have no idea. I know for a fact he's been in business for a year and a half.
Yep.
Since we started dealing with him.
At least.
Probably 2 years.
Yeah, probably two, I was going to say.
And, man, every time I see him, he's just more dedicated to growing his brand. He truthfully believes he's got a great product. And, I mean, obviously, we do too. And all the kids love it at our camps. So
yeah, I enjoy it.
we've got Vita Air at our office here. And this might be the first podcast that we're doing that you don't have it with you right now.
Yeah, it is. I don't have a bottle of water right now. Yeah. I usually do. I just have my Yeti.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, we back from our Jacksonville camp. Unbelievable camp, Stu.
Yeah, camp was awesome. The rink was just so great. Everything, right time. Facilities were unbelievable. That igloo they have that they skate at is awesome. Two ice sheets, both well-maintained, really nice.
Yep, fairly... newly renovated.
Yeah, brand new. It seems brand new.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is. Like, it's, I don't think it's been the way it is right now for longer than 2 years. I believe right. It's been like a year since that thing's been ready to rock.
Yeah, because you mentioned on our last episode before I was thrown off by TB jumping on that it was like you called it like a birthday party rink or something.
That's basically what it was. And now it's far, that'd be a sick birthday party now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good, well, their party rooms even look nice.
Yeah. They had
like three of them.
Yeah, and they had that, what do you call it, that esports room or whatever?
Yeah, I didn't get to go in there, but I would have loved that.
I completely forgot to bring you in there because they showed me it.
It's okay.
Before camp started.
They haven't heard the last of me.
You'd be like drooling on the ground.
Yeah. They haven't heard the last of me as far as that esports room goes.
Okay, yeah. I'll be sure to let Eddie know.
They'll hear from me.
They've got a ton of like, I don't know anything about this stuff, okay? You know about this stuff, but... there are some very nice, and from what I understand, very expensive computers in that room
mm-hmm.
that I think you would just yeah, die
need,
to have.
I need to know what's in there.
Monitors, everything.
Yeah.
Even their chairs look sick, like their gaming chairs.
Nothing like a good gaming chair. I don't have one, but there's nothing like it.
Yeah, see, I would have no idea.
Right.
Necessary. But yeah, quite the experience. Another, and you know what? We also have to thank the Jacksonville Icemen.
Yeah, obviously. The Icemen, huge.
Yeah, they allowed us into their professional facility,
yeah.
Their gym, their meeting room, and their staff. I mean, they were so friendly to us, kind and welcoming, and it was a privilege for us to obviously for them to allow us to just walk in there and use their facility.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the Jacksonville Junior Icemen as well for collaborating with us and partnering with us and making this entire camp happen. So mm-hmm. They're doing things very well over there. You can tell whether it's the Junior Icemen or the Icemen, they're very dedicated and
and
everything they do, they do it professionally. And it was pretty cool to be a part of.
Yeah, that was just all around awesome. I mean, even like logistically, it ran really well. Yep. But yeah, just the Iceman and Junior Iceman letting us into their facilities and trusting us to use them and take care of them. We're really grateful for that. And that was, I mean, it wouldn't have gone on without that.
Yeah. 100%. It would, I mean, it wouldn't have gone on as well as it did. That's for sure. You know?
Yeah.
So another thing that was cool for us, in my opinion, was, I mean, that's the first time that we've had a goalie camp where we really didn't know probably
80, most of the goalies.
Yeah. 80% of the goalies.
Yeah.
So, obviously to bring our knowledge and meet these new goalies and all the reviews have been very positive coming from them. Mm-hmm. It was a cool experience to take what we've taught here and coached here with these kids for the last few years and bring it, mind you, in a very short period of time to goalies that have never worked with us before.
Yeah, that was definitely interesting. That was definitely new. I mean, we were obviously excited, maybe a little bit nervous because we're not used to...
Yeah, it's the unknown.
We've coached a lot of the same goalies, so thank you to everybody that we've had the pleasure of coaching the last 2 years. But we've been coaching a lot of the same goalies, so camp is just kind of, it's cool to get them all together on the same ice sheet and get after it. But now in Jacksonville is kind of completely new. But you have to thank all the goalies and parents for just being so just friendly and hardworking and understanding with anything that was going on. So thank you to them.
Yeah, big time. We should probably also mention the fact that our camp almost got cut short because of a tropical storm that came through on Sunday.
Yeah, we were ready.
That happened.
Yeah, but what I've realized is that to the people from Jacksonville, they're just like, yeah, whatever. It's another day at the office.
Yeah, our everyone from Alabama was like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And everyone in Jacksonville was like, or even Florida.
Your wife is just like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, what are you doing? They were like, well, actually, it just turned into a, it wasn't even a tropical storm. It was a hurricane. Category one.
It was a category one. And they're like, that's almost easier to deal with than a tropical storm. We're like, somehow. Oh, okay.
How's that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But thankfully, everyone got home safe that needed to get home from Jacksonville. And yeah, I mean, it was eventful, man. Like, obviously, you took off right after camp. You had to beat the storm because.
Yep.
Let's not kid ourselves. It's different when you're just living in town and you're like, oh, I got to drive from here to here. Whereas if you're needing to travel 8 hours across I-10 where the storm is directly going through, you had to leave right away and get ahead of that. I ended up staying an extra day and just sitting through the storm. And I'm not going to lie. Like, we went for a walk mid-storm.
Yep.
So if that tells you anything about like how powerful
what
these
a category
things are,
one looks like.
Yeah. It wasn't like anything you couldn't walk through, but we went, when I say we, I mean my mother and my son and I, we like kind of just peeked over those sand dunes that protects Neptune Beach there.
Yep.
As soon as you crested and the winds from the ocean came
tough,
bro, we just backed up. I like grabbed Garner. I'm like, let's get back.
Was the water like halfway up the beach?
And the waves were huge.
Yeah.
But the worst part was the fact, because it's like that Florida, very fine, nice sand.
Yeah.
The sand was just blowing right in your face.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
So like you're trying to look at the storm and your eyes are like just, this and you're just.
The dunes are just getting worn down by the wind.
Yeah, it's a hurricane. Like it is what it is.
Right.
But aside from what I could tell, I mean, I don't know much about the storm or any storm for that matter, but at least for where we were, there was, I mean, palm trees were down a little bit, mostly the branches.
And yeah.
The restaurants were still open at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday.
That's awesome.
We went to a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. Just another day at the office.
Yeah. I called them. I'm like, hey, fully expecting a no. I'm like, any chance you guys are open? They're like, yeah, regular working hours.
What do you mean?
Yeah. It's a Monday.
Right. Yeah. It's Monday.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it was kind of a cool experience for us. The entire camp as a whole was obviously a very cool experience for us.
And, yeah.
Pretty excited to hopefully do it again in the future and have more camps in other locations.
Oh yeah, it'd be so much fun to go back there. I'm already looking forward to it. I know we're looking forward to it. Pumped for that. We also had some goalies that did both of our camps this summer, the Alabama and the Jacksonville one. So special thank you to them as well.
Yeah, big shout out to them.
That's a lot of skating.
Man, the parents.
Yeah, and the parents, yeah.
And, you know, so our Jacksonville camp was on the weekend. So yeah. It never really crossed my brain that way. But in my head, I was thinking, no brainer for the parents. You know, they're coming, they mm-hmm. drop their kids off at goalie camp, and then they go to the beach.
Right.
But it was like all on the weekend. They weren't working. And then like a majority of them just kind of hung around the rink, which I thought was kind of cool. But
yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. I think it was a short camp. That's the only thing. It was only 2.5 days, but I'll just say it what it is. You're going into a new place, new facility, new goal, new everything.
Right.
And we've been in this one spot for so long. You don't know how it's going to take.
Yeah.
And for that reason, we decided to just do a short camp, put a little feeler out there for year mm-hmm. one. And mm-hmm. I think I'm happy that we did it that way.
It's uncharted territory.
Yeah, exactly. Which is nerve wracking. But yeah, you kind of have that, like, at least I had like that feeling of almost like release of stress.
Right. Yeah.
As soon as the camp was done, not that it wasn't enjoyable. It was very enjoyable, but yeah, I think you get what I'm saying.
Right. Like I said, uncharted territory. You don't know exactly how everything's going to go. It's going to be different than you're used to because it's a different location. Every location works differently, but I mean, they work great. It was perfect.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, big thank you to everybody that was involved.
It was a short camp, but a lot of the goalies in our first camp told us that 4 days was a short camp.
Yeah, which is crazy.
So,
because we had it was 3 days the first year,
right? And then we went to four.
Yeah,
and they're like, we need more.
And then on day one of the 4 day camp, there was kids being like, you should have made it five. And I'm like, buddy, buddy, just wait. By the midday three, you're going to be wishing that it was three,
which is hilarious. And then after day four, they're like, yeah, should have been five.
And I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Thought I had them.
Yeah, no.
How many power hours do we have to give these kids?
They're like, we love playing goalie too much.
Yeah, which is awesome.
That's great. We want that. Yeah.
If I did,
that means they're having fun.
Right. If I did 4 days straight of power hours, workouts, and just like whatever you call our other skates where we have shooters, by day three, I'd be like, oh my God, there's a day four. But maybe that's my age. My body.
I don't know. Yeah, those kids don't have 5 years in the dub yet.
No.
And 5 years in the SP.
Right. Yeah.
You're basically 45 if you're an NHLer.
Right.
That's a lot of miles on that body. Yeah. By the way, for those that don't know, our power hours are just purely skating. So you literally just do goalie skating movements for an hour.
Yeah.
There's no, you don't make any saves.
Right.
Actually, you pass a little bit, but that's it.
Yeah.
You don't make a single save.
Yeah, the only time you touch a puck is when you're passing the puck.
That's it, because we have one passing station for those.
Yeah, so one out of every six station is a passing station. The other five, you're literally just 30 seconds on, minute and a half off.
And that's after 15 minutes of edge work.
Yeah.
It's all great. It's all great stuff, but it's not the most fun thing about playing goalie, I'll tell you that.
No, but it's
beneficial.
Crazy. Right.
Yeah.
But I think the kids... Well, I keep saying kids, but the goalies, because there's multiple age groups, they all just seem to love it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's awesome. I didn't love skating that much when I was a kid.
No, but maybe, I don't know, maybe it has some, maybe it's just the fact that they're at a goalie camp, you know? Like, I don't think Jacksonville right. or Birmingham, either places had a goalie camp before we got there, so.
Right. I think there's two more people we got to thank.
Okay.
And that's, of course, Charles and Katie.
Oh, yeah.
They need shout outs, I think. I think they earned it.
Yeah. Charles Williams and Katie Rizova. And yep. Katie, free reign to get mad at me if I mispronounced your last name, but I'm pretty sure it's Rizova.
Yeah.
She told me you have to roll the R.
Rizova.
Yes. I can't do that.
And she actually came down from Connecticut to coach in Jacksonville.
She did, yeah. So she was with the junior Iceman or at the Igloo for, from what I understand, a couple of years or a few years.
Everybody seems to know her.
Everyone like knows everybody. Her. Everybody loves
knows her.
Her
and loves her.
Yeah. But then recently she got hired for a new job up in Connecticut. So congratulations to her. Awesome. I know she's excited about it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She's unbelievable, but she is crazy.
She fits right in with us then.
She does. But the reason why I say she's crazy is it's a really good thing, but the only thing is She literally stands like in the crease with the younger goalies, which I think is fantastic.
While there's a shot being taken.
Yes. Who trusts a shooter? Any shooter. I'm not just saying the Jacksonville shooters. I'm not just saying the Birmingham shooters. Who trusts a human being with a hockey stick and a puck to stand in the crease while they're shooting it towards you?
Not me. I don't care who's shooting that puck.
I can't wait for the video to come out.
Yes, that'll be great. But she did a great job. She's like an incredibly passionate coach. Cares about every little detail. Cares about the kids.
Yeah.
Or adults.
It's no wonder why everyone loves her.
And yeah, it's like obvious. It's obvious why everyone loves her. Obviously, she loves the game, loves the position. Brings a resume of international play to our staff, which I could be the only one on our staff that doesn't have that. You do. Katie does. Charles has such a storied resume that he's got to have something.
Yeah. I mean, how many years pro did Charles play?
A lot.
Like, he was in the Coast before I got there.
And he played in the Coast that entire time.
Right.
So he's a long time.
He didn't have a 5-year stint.
Long time Coast goalie.
Yeah.
And he's got American League wins, games, everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very decorated. Just roll right into him. Right. Charles Williams, the person.
Great dude.
Phenomenal guy. You know, he's one of those guys that always has a smile on his face. Yeah. I see him being very passionate about the position and coaching.
He is, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying Charles is standing in the crease when pucks are being flown.
No,
he
hasn't gotten to that level yet.
No, I don't know if he ever will. I don't know if anybody's ever gotten to that level except for Katie. you know what? There was on Saturday and Sunday, we had three stations running and I got to go Rover. So I got to kind of check in on each station and just being able to hear his perspective on all the drills that we had designed was very interesting. You know, it was all for the most part on par with how we view the drills and how we recommend to play certain situations.
Right.
But just, he wasn't just out there to be like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is the drill. Go next. That's not his style. He cares way too much.
Yeah.
He's in there and he's in the crease. He's talking to goalies. He's saying, hey, you can play this A, B, or C type way. Try all of them, you know?
Yeah.
And see what works for you and all that. So just for me, just listening in on all his conversations with the goalies was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things about our drills is that it's not just a one it's not just a one size fits all. The scenarios we put the goalies in are gray area scenarios that are difficult that you could use, you know, 1 to 5 different tools to play. And so Charles working with the goalies on what kind of tools they can use in these situations and how to use them. And you know, even him talking with us, well, you know, maybe if there's someone standing back door or there's someone in the slot, I would do this. But now that there isn't, maybe I would do this. And just all the cool little conversations we got to have on how to play different scenarios and based on the drills we came up with for the camp, I thought those conversations I thought were really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you look at there's one drill specifically where we had a shooter crawling a cone and he could basically shoot the puck. And I'm dumbing this drill down so people can understand.
Right.
But you curl a cone in tight and that shooter can either shoot or he can feather it back door.
Yeah. Or zip it back door.
Yeah. Shooter's choice. Charles looked at it as, I think I'm going to get to my feet here.
Yeah.
Whereas I was looking at it as, I'm going to probably stay down or even stay in my reverse potentially. That's so to be able to be on the ice and have that conversation personally was cool, just to see his perspective.
Yeah.
Because I have so much respect for his perspective.
Because he's got he's like a 9-year, 8-year, 7-year pro too, right?
Right.
So that's a lot of years. We have a lot of years pro, a lot of years in hockey, and international years between that staff.
Right. And I think that's the biggest benefit from a camp compared to, say, maybe like
100%
a private lesson.
The years and years and
know, like a private lesson, you're getting more time, more reps for the most part than a camp.
Yeah,
but it's with one coach,
right?
Whereas you can spend 20 minutes with Charles on one end, and then you can go spend 20 minutes with you on another end, or Katie, and have three different perspectives on how to play a certain situation.
Yeah.
But again, what I like about all four of us on the ice was that we all have an understanding that there's different ways to play it.
Yeah, and that's kind of that's one of the things we went into, I think, together with as far as coaching this camp together is, you know, we talked about things and they Katie and Charles would ask questions like, well, do you want us to tell them to play it specifically like this? And we're like, no. Tell them to play it the way that you think is best because there's a bunch of different ways to play things. So we want to give everybody all the tools and help them add it to their toolbox and then they can put it into their game the way that they see fit. And we're here to help with that too. Yeah. But for a camp scenario right now, we're just trying to give them all the tools, especially in a 2.5 day camp.
Yep.
And so I thought that was one of the cool things about us being a coach together or us being able to coach together. And the other thing is that's the first time where we've had someone really kind of outside of, I'd say outside of someone we know really closely or have worked with pretty closely helping coach our camps.
Yeah, that's the first time we've had a goalie come help us that didn't play with us on the Bulls.
Yeah,
you know, right. So
or is associated with the Bulls. Shout out to Greg Drevny.
So,
yeah. But Greg did not play with us on the Bulls.
No, he just broadcasts for us now. But he did used to play for the Bulls, and you should look him up on YouTube, Greg Drevny. And then if you want to follow his name with the word fights, you'll find.
Does he have a better YouTube than you do?
Yeah, I think there's more quantity.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm gonna have to do that when I get home
by like 30 times.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Greg Drevny highlights are fun to watch.
So yeah, thank you. I guess everybody associated with Jacksonville, it just ended up being phenomenal.
Yeah, couldn't. Not much more else to say. I mean, just great experience and yeah.
I think we should segue into this comment on our top five goalies list.
Okay.
Because I saw we got a comment on this on our top five goalies list episode that we did, which was two episodes ago. And I was pumped because I love it when we get any sort of comment on our stuff. But this one, and I want to give a shout out to BelfourFan001.
Whoever you are.
Awesome comment because there's like clearly a lot of research put into this, and you know, we're here, we share our ideas, we share who we think is best, but that doesn't mean we're always right. And I think that we agree a lot on this. We agree a lot with Belfour Fan on this comment.
Mm-hmm.
But Belfour Fan makes some good points as far as our top five goalies list. So what they indicated was that we didn't have Markstrom on our top five goalies list.
No.
But Belfour Fan here says that in this past regular season, Markstrom gave up 82 goals against per 100 goals against that he should have given up. So out of 100 expected goals against, so these are situations where he should be getting scored on, his expected goals against, he only gave up 82 per 100 of those expected goals against. Okay?
Okay.
So that's a good measurement because now you're, instead of taking save percentage and goals against average and all that, you're taking a stat that, let's say, how do I put this? Goals against and save percentage can be influenced by your team.
And, yeah, probably other variables.
Expected goal and other variables. Expected goals against is just pure scoring situations that you faced. So you may have faced less expected goals against situations, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they can still track how many you gave up out of those. Let's say if UC Saros faces 300 a season. And then, you know, Vasilevsky faces 150.
Can I be an asshole here?
Yeah.
What is their expected goal against? Like, who's making these stats? Who's determining what an expected goal is?
That's a good question. It's a little subjective. I think it has to do. I think there's like a bunch of variables. From what I've read, and we're going to need help on this. From what I've read, which I've read a good amount on it.
Shocker.
There's a bunch of variables that go into it. So it's something like where the shot is coming from. What the traffic looks like. Is it a 1-on-0? Is it a 2-on-0? Is it a 3-on-1? Is there a lateral pass before that play happens?
Okay.
So, like, you know how there's that stat where something like the puck has, like, a 60% greater chance of going in if it's shot right after it crosses the slot, the Royal Road? Okay, so there's some sort of stat. that, okay. And I don't know. I don't have a source for this.
You're teaching me right now.
There's some sort of stat that if a pass is made from one side of what they call the Royal Road, which I would call like a 10-foot cylinder down the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
If a pass moves from one side of that Royal Road to the other side, and there's a shot that takes place right after the puck, has like a 60% greater chance of going in or something like that.
So basically it's a cross ice one timer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, or like maybe a catch and shoot or something. Okay. But either way, the point is it's cross ice. The goalie has to move and get set and make a save. So it's
right.
They track that kind of stuff in the NHL. We're not used to that in our league.
I need to know what other variables go into this. Cause I feel like no matter what list they give us, we're going to be like, yeah, but what about this? What about that?
I think we should make a note to look that up and talk about it next
episode. What about speed of shot? What about screens?
Yeah, I think they do put traffic in there. Speed of shot, I'm not sure. But you can make an argument a softer shot is tougher to stop, depending on the situation.
Okay.
So, but this is great because like we said, Markstrom, we think, is a good goalie.
Yeah, he's not better than
Vasilevskiy. But we wouldn't put him on our top five list. Mm-hmm. But where Markstrom gave up 82 goals against on 100 out of 100 expected goals against, Vasilevskiy gave up 101 out of 100 expected goals against.
So you're telling me that Vasilevskiy just doesn't stop expected goals against?
This is for last season.
Am I misunderstanding now, that?
Not as many. So he gives up more. He gives up more than he should have, is what this is saying. Now, somebody like Drennan Atherton would agree with that Vassy is not playing as well right now.
Is Drennan a smart guy?
He's an engineer. What's so he doing? And he's a numbers guy.
Right. That number makes me want to break my computer.
Right.
It says 101 goals against, and that's
out of 100. But Vassy had what some would say an off year.
But you get what I'm saying. How is it anything more than 100?
Because this is think about let's say you see 1,000 shots. You should have given up 100 on those 1,000 shots, okay? Just based on a lot of them are wristers from the outside, they hit you in the chest.
Okay.
So they're saying that out of those 1,000 shots, there's 100 that you should have given up. But out of those 1,000 shots, you gave up 101.
Okay.
So you gave up one more than you should have out of every 100 goals.
But where's the 1,000 coming from if it says 100?
It's just a made up number. Okay. I'm saying you're taking it as he's only seen 100 chances. This is out of 100.
Right.
He could have seen more. Okay. But you got to assume if he's seeing 100 scoring chances against, he's probably seeing 1,000 shots or 1,500.
Oh, yeah, I hope so, yeah.
So you can give up more than 100 goals. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you could technically even give up 1,000.
Okay,
does my explanation make sense?
It does. So you're telling me that Vasi lets in 100% of the expected goals against and also lets in one squeaker?
Yes, that's essentially what this number is saying.
That's such BS.
But again, an expected goals against is like a really good chance. So they could also do this. They could take, okay, you have this many chances. You should stop on average 50% of them if they're like 2-on-1s or something.
Okay.
So now they take that 50%, and that's like you're 100. So maybe he's stopping obviously more chances than he's giving up. But out of when they break down the numbers, he's giving up more than they think. The numbers think that he should.
I hate this stat, and I don't know if it's because I don't quite understand it or if I just don't believe in it.
I think it's because we don't understand it. I think we have to do more research on it.
Okay.
But I think if you're taking this stat, it makes a good case for Markstrom because the number one, the guy who gave up the least amount of goals on out of 100 expected mm-hmm. was the Vezina winner.
Mm, shocker.
So it has validity to it. If Hellebuck was like 20th on this list, it wouldn't make sense, right?
Correct.
So it has some validity to it. And I think this is where Saros is usually good too because he sees like 5 million chances against every year.
Saros isn't on this list. Or that's your point.
Well, I think he could. I'm saying he could be.
He could be. Okay. Why is...
Okay. So here's the top... Okay.
Right. Let me ask one question first. Just because I'm so against this stat, because again, I probably don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Linus Ullmark is on this list. Jeremy Swayman is not.
Yeah.
Who had the better year?
Last year?
Yeah.
But that's the last 3 years.
This is the last 3 years?
This is top five.
Oh, yeah. That's a different line.
So now
line.
We're taking three. Yeah, that's a different line.
So the first one was last regular season.
The first
season.
One was just one season, but now we go into three seasons. This is the top five goals against compared to goals expected. Goals against expected, okay?
I'm with you now. Okay.
So out of 100, Freddie Anderson is the best with only giving up 82 out of every 100 goals against expected that he should give up.
That's sick. Love.
Shesterkin has 83, Ullmark 83, Sorokin 84. Who I think is underrated, and Hellebuck 85 fifth.
I think we both love that Freddie's on this list because we're Freddie guys.
I got to get into a Freddie rant for a second.
Oh god!
Because Leafs fans always talk about how bad Freddie is.
Yeah,
I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Do you realize Babcock rode him for like 70 games a season? He's dead tired. Now they're going into playoffs. Jake Gardner's throwing pizzas up the middle four times a game. Yeah, Freddie's gonna get scored on every once in a while. Yeah,
no kidding.
It's amazing. It's amazing they were where they were, despite the type of defense they played.
Yeah. Leafs fans are brutal, man. I don't know what to say to you.
What are you guys talking about? Oh no. What's your solution? Ilya Samsonov? You kidding? Matt Murray? What are we talking about right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, Freddie might have had a rough playoffs, but over the last 5 years, he's considerably better than Leafs fans give him credit for. So that's my rant of the day.
That's just a classic case of a bad hockey team and a fan base just blaming it all.
Yeah,
on
we're
going
to blame the goalie.
Yeah,
I think they don't like Jake Gardner either, but Jake Gardner is way more to blame.
Is there anybody in Toronto that they like that's not named Austin Matthews?
Willie, maybe.
Some people
and
don't.
And Morgan
like
Riley's supposed to be good. I like Morgan
there's
Riley.
There's the hockey fan.
Isn't Morgan Riley good?
Yeah, Morgan Riley's good.
Okay.
There's the hockey fan that doesn't like William Nylander, though. Because he's not like off the ice, he's very modern.
That's a fair
know,
point.
Like he dresses
right.
He dresses different. Like right. He's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not the suit and tie guy.
Right.
So for
that's an interesting way to describe it, seeing as our business is called Modern Goaltending.
I know. That's why I
we're gonna start have to we're gonna have to start dressed with a little more flair.
Yeah, it's not happening because I'm definitely in the camp of the people that are a little bit thrown off by William Nylander.
Right. But if you're a Leafs fan, you got to be happy because he's like the best paid player for what he brings you.
Yeah. Well, dress.
You guys are giving Mitch Marner $11 million to do nothing.
Dress like that after you win a cup. How's that sound?
That sounds good. You can dress like that. Because
if you're not, to me, when I see somebody acting and dressing like William Nylander, I think that guy is. Oh man, I'm gonna get roasted for this.
That guy's serious?
All about himself.
Okay.
Okay, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying when I see that, that's the first thing. I don't know what is wrong with my head, if anything.
Right.
Or I don't know what's wrong with my head, but when I see somebody like that, automatically I think he doesn't care.
Right.
But I don't know why.
Right.
Wear a suit.
That could see. I mean, he held out, but he's got the most team friendly deal of like their superstars, I feel like.
What's he making? If it's anything.
Is it six?
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
How's he afford to wear all his Louis when he's only making six?
I think six can get you a lot of Louis.
I wouldn't know. I don't even know what a Louis costs.
Right,
so.
Right. You're, yeah.
Is there Louis clothes? Oh, my God.
Hang on. I think he just signed this. I think he just signed this extension.
That guy can afford Louis.
I'm about to eat my words.
Year one.
Yeah, so he's going into year one of eight at $11.5 million now. Okay, but what did he used to make? Where does it say that? Cap hit.
Past years. Maybe scroll down. Here we go. Oh, that's his stats.
6.9. So
oh, yeah.
See, 6.9, 6.9, 6.9.
Mm.
And guess what? He shows up. Well, actually, I don't want to say he shows up in the playoffs because he's afraid to go in the corner sometimes. But it's a better deal than Tavares and Marner. Are you kidding me?
I think John Tavares' deal was fair. Where is it, $10
million? 11.
That's a lot.
Tim Matthews and Marner, the $33 million line.
Yeah, realistically, John Tavares is probably $9 million when he signed
it. And you know my take, nobody should be making over 10 because nobody has won a cup making over 10.
Right.
So.
Even with the salary cap going up.
It will now this year. Now the number is going to be different. But for what it was, still.
I don't think it'll go up that much, though. It's not going to reach 11.
It might. Yeah, it might not.
Right.
I don't know. We gotta look into that. So anyways, so that Vasilevskiy, the last 3 years, is, let's see, he's given up 91 over out of 100 expected goals against over the last 3 years, and that's good enough to be 10th in the league. So if you just took that stat, he's 10th in the league. Hmm. Now, his skating, his skills, his ability, we think is
through the roof.
His ability to play in crunch time, playoff hockey,
yep,
is another thing, another variable, right, that he's really good at that makes him a great goalie.
Probably the best in the world.
Now, the top five as in terms of goals saved out of goals expected, out of every 100 goals against expected, is, we already listed these off. Okay,
in the last 3 years.
Freddie, Igor, Ullmark, Sorokin, and Hellebuck. And we agree probably with this for the most part. I wouldn't put Freddie in a top five right now. I just love seeing Freddie get credit because I think he's so good.
Yes, but to be honest, and I mentioned this to you before the podcast, we didn't bring up Freddie at all when we were going on our rant 2 episodes ago.
No, but we should have. He deserved better than that.
Because I put him, I'm going to sound like this is,
here we go,
I'm BS now.
We're going off the roll.
Well, it's gonna sound like I'm just saying this because I saw this number, but right. I put him ahead of Demko. I put him ahead of Hilsey.
Yeah.
I put him ahead of Jacob Markstrom.
Well, according to this stat, he should be.
Right.
Yeah.
I just do. I love Freddie. I've always loved Freddie. I loved him when he was in Toronto.
I loved him when he was on Anaheim.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about Freddie was that he was drafted to Carolina and said, I don't want to go to that place.
And he went to Anaheim.
Yeah.
And now he's in Carolina.
Sick.
Yeah. They got their deal at the end. And Toronto let him go because Leafs fans didn't like him.
Yeah, because they listened to the media, I guess.
Right, smart.
Maybe he was too expensive. I don't know how much he makes.
Me neither.
You know, like if Freddie wanted $6 million, they're like, can't do that.
We got to pay our forwards $33 million to make sure they don't play defense in playoffs and not win a round. Now, actually win one round of playoffs.
Now it's like four players making $44 million, ooh, right?
With Willie,
Tavares, Marner, Matthews.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So now they're even more worse off.
I think that's why this contract must be why they were talking about Marner being traded to like Utah or something.
Right, to get they need to open up cap space
because half their cap is going to four players.
Right. There's nothing worse than being full of, but there's nothing worse than having zero cap space and not winning.
Yeah, it's
like
brutal.
You either want to be, we have no cap space but we're winning cups. Or yeah, you either want to be, we have a ton of cap space, but we kind of are bad. That's where Utah is.
Right. Yeah. Can't wait to go win some cups with all this cap space.
Right. And I'm pretty sure Arizona/Utah was still paying like random players like Shea Weber and Pavel Datsyuk as of like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They have some random contracts on that place.
That's because the league minimum, right? They have to get over the salary cap minimum.
So they have so much space, they have trouble reaching the minimum.
Yeah.
Wow, good for them.
Yeah, and people are saying that Utah is going to be pretty good this year.
I can't wait till they fill that space up.
Yeah.
Which they're starting with draft picks.
Yeah.
So anyways, I don't mind Freddie being on this list. Ullmark, that's the only one that is a little wishy-washy for me, but Sorokin, Hellebuck, and Shesterkin are right on. And so Belfour fan says he or she would take Shesterkin over anybody else any day of the week, and I can't disagree with that because Shesterkin's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's like saying the color red is red. Why would you? How could you?
I can't disagree with that.
I mean, well, hang on, actually.
Over any day of the week. I think Igor plays well in playoffs.
What about the conversation of, I know I've already voiced my opinion on this. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if you have or not.
Okay, well we're about to find out.
Would you rather have, right now,
yep,
for next season,
okay,
would you rather have Bobrovsky or Shesterkin?
Ooh. I don't know.
My answer is, you got to give me one.
I don't know. I mean.
You got to give the people one. My answer I can say after you because I've already said it.
Okay,
two podcasts.
Okay, well, let's talk about, Bob has won a cup. He just won a cup.
Yeah.
So he can win a cup.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously leads by example through his insane work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's older, so he's good to have younger guys come in and learn like how to be a pro.
Okay.
And good for team culture. So taking all that into account, I would have to go Bob.
Okay. We disagree. I think Igor is, whatever. I'll just say it. I keep being like, I keep
you gotta
being
just
careful.
Say it.
I know. I keep being careful, and then I remind myself there's like five people listening.
Yeah, but this is for Belfour fan partially too.
True. I think Shesterkin is more consistent than Bob. Bobrov.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. And then because I said, this is only for next year.
I feel like Bob gives up way more bad goals than Igor does.
Yeah.
It just happens.
This is only for next year. So the fact that Igor is this good, this young, is irrelevant for this conversation. So I won't even get to the fact that he's like, 8 years younger
than Bob?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
So, but that's irrelevant because I said for next year.
Right.
I would take Igor Shesterkin, just like Belfour fan 001 here, over anybody else in the league, really? Including Vasi.
Over Vasi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is crazy to say.
I would just take Vasi because he knows how to win cups.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say. It doesn't feel good saying that, but that honestly, just for next season, that's what I would do. But I will say, clearly, Vasi had an off year last year.
Yeah.
Because his, whatever you call this stupid stat, was terrible.
Expected goals against.
Was terrible last year, mm-hmm. but he had a... The last 3 years, it's been very good, which tells me that 10th
in the league.
Which tells me that potentially, probably, he was in the top five if you took away last year for the 2 years prior to that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Which would put him in the top five of our list.
Right. So he had an off year according to this stat.
Right. Just this one. This is one stat that we're looking at.
Yeah.
But
don't even know if I like this stat. Don't understand.
We got to read about it.
Yeah.
We got to read about it.
And it's not that I should stop saying that. I understand it. You explained it well. What I don't understand is what goes into this.
So we need to look at it.
We need
to
look.
Because it's obviously it does something, because the entire point of creating this stat is to help goalies on bad teams where people are like, oh, that goalie's terrible. But it's like, no. He sees way more chances than everybody else. And actually, if they both saw the same 100 chances, this goalie would stop 78 of them, whereas this goalie that you think is great would only stop 85 of them.
Right. Yeah. No.
It's supposed to make goalie evaluation a little bit more of a level playing field.
We're going to break it down.
But I like the attempt to do that.
So do I.
I think that's a good idea.
Definitely. Any attempt to help a goalie that's being blamed for something that he shouldn't be blamed for is a good thing.
Right.
But I still want to see this.
That's the goal. I think it's a good goal. Now, whether this is the best way to do it, we're going to have to talk about that at a different time. And I think we should do our research on it and talk about that.
We will. But I'm telling you right now, unless that list is so damn long that it needs a... What do you call the beginning of a book where it has like the...
Table of contents.
and it shows like the page that the specific chapter starts.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless this stat needs a table of contents.
Yep.
I think I thought that was table of context.
Table of contents.
Yeah. The last 29 years. unless it has that, we will find holes in it. I can almost guarantee you, which is fine. Like you said, they're attempting to do goalies good here. Maybe people find holes in it and then they put it into the measurement. I don't know. Maybe we can be a part of that somehow.
Right. I think that'd be a great thing to talk over.
Like what? Like I said before, what about the speed of the shot?
Mm-hmm. I think we should read about it. I think that they do try to take as many variables into it as possible.
What if the goalie's been drinking the night before?
Well, I think they would just consider that on you.
What if the D-man went out the night before?
Yeah, that's got to be on there too. Right, you're expected to give up seven that game, but you only gave up three.
Your entire decor was at the club all night. Yeah.
What if Jake Gardner's on your team, right, Leafs fans?
Yeah, Freddie's expected goals against was like 17 a game.
Yeah, but he gave up three. Yeah. What we talked. He gave up three, maybe four in round one against the Boston Bruins with Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, Lucic. Like, what are we talking about right now?
Welcome to the first round, Freddie. You're playing those guys, and these are your guys.
And that team's built for playoffs.
Yeah.
And you just played 70 games this season, by the way.
Have fun.
which 70 hard games, like, you know, early, you know, the early 2000s or 2000 or 1990s, 70 games is much different than a 2018 you know, 70 games.
Yeah, much.
So.
But the guys back in the day didn't take care of themselves as well as the guys now.
Right.
They weren't like smoking cigarettes in the shower. Between
right, that's
periods.
A good point. Yeah, in the as late as the early to mid 2000s.
Yeah,
right. Sweet. Up until that rule change, 70 games is a little bit different. Mika Kiprasov would play a ton of games too.
What made you think of Kipper?
Just a workhorse.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So thank you to Belfour Fan for this comment. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Really great comment. Very awesome. Insightful. Mm-hmm. Obviously something we could talk about for a long time, which we say about everything. So thank you for that comment. And you know, we love it when people leave comments. We will try to talk about as many as we possibly can.
Yeah. Our problem is we just go on rants, you know? So like right now we're dealing with one comment every 2 weeks.
Right.
And we spend 40 minutes on it.
Yeah. So now
we'll have to get better at that.
I think so too. Do you think we should now just finish this with a protein intake in season comment?
Yeah, probably. I do have one more thing I want to talk about though.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Vita Era Hydration. Vita Era addresses two critical issues for a healthy lifestyle. First, throughout your day, you lose essential vitamins, minerals, and electrolytes. Whether you're taking a walk, working out, or engaging in any energy-intensive activity, Vita Era replenishes these nutrients without the processed sugars and artificial additives like sucralose or aspartame found in many hydration products. Instead, Vita Era uses stevia, one of the healthiest natural sweeteners, to provide a refreshing taste. Second, with 60 to 70% of our bodies made up of water and 75% of people chronically dehydrated, it's showing that we're not drinking enough water. As an additive to water, Vita Era encourages you to increase your water intake. Vita Era is a 3-in-1 solution. It provides your everyday essential vitamins and minerals, green tea for enhanced performance and recovery, and electrolytes to maximize hydration efficiency. Each serving includes 500 milligrams of potassium, equivalent to the potassium content of a banana. Stay hydrated, drink Vita Era.
But it's very brief.
Okay. I just want to mention, because I think people who haven't listened to or watched this yet, including yourself, have to.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be very quick.
No, I think it'll be good.
And I'm going to try and explain it without ruining anything.
Okay, ooh, so no spoilers.
No spoilers.
Okay. Ooh, okay. That's tough. Okay.
If you haven't seen Open Heart on Netflix yet, and you're a hockey fan, a Rangers fan, or a goalie, whatever,
yeah,
go watch it. If you're just a fan of athletes, go watch it. Because what I learned about Henrik Lundqvist in the hour and 14 minutes I was watching this yesterday, I had no clue what he went through in regards to this.
Right.
You know when someone has, like, there's like an athlete that's been around for a long time and then they're a little bit older and then it's like, oh, he's going through this.
Yeah.
And I mean, my brain just didn't click into the fact like, oh, wait, he's got heart issues.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of hear that all the time, especially during COVID. People were getting very, they were having a lot of issues with like vitals and stuff. You know, so I kind of overlooked the entire thing and didn't think much of it.
Yeah.
And then when he retired, I was like, okay, it's probably just his age. I didn't really think that it was about his heart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Legit, literally his heart.
Yeah. What he went through, and more importantly, what I'm trying to get across is what he tried to do to get back almost had me in tears last night.
That's awesome.
I don't cry.
He's a committed. We know he's a committed goaltender.
It goes into so many different things. Whether, and again, I'm not going to spoiler it, but I mean, it's Henrik Lundqvist. We're talking about the king here.
Right.
Okay. He's been around for so long. He's been an elite NHL goaltender for so long.
Yep.
So you can only imagine how many people are being interviewed and speaking about him in this documentary.
Right. There's a ton of people that know him.
It didn't matter if it was his mom, if it was Henrik, if it was an ex-teammate of his, whoever.
Yeah.
Everybody that spoke about him was like, in their own words, basically explaining how he is just an absolute dog, and all he cared about was winning. That's all he cared about.
Yep.
And the part that made me emotional was, yes, obviously the fact that his career was ended due to something out of his control.
Yeah, that's really tough.
Very tough. Underestimatedly tough.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch this documentary, it's you won't underestimate it anymore. I lost my train of thought.
You're talking about how like much his single focus in life is winning,
right?
Winning hockey games.
But the other part that made me emotional was not only that, but the fact that he wanted to win more than any other athlete, or just as much as any other top tier athlete I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And he just never got to. He got an Olympic gold medal, but he never got to win a cup.
Yeah, that's wild. There's like so many really good players who play for such a long time and they don't win cups.
Right. And that's what has always, and I think we discussed this months ago on the podcast, but for me, I've always been, I've never been in the camp of, oh, he's not like a Hall of Famer. He's not as good as this guy because he didn't win a cup. Because in my opinion, since I've been alive and watching goaltending, Henrik Lundqvist and Carey Price are in my top five, and they both haven't won a cup.
Yeah, which is wild. I mean, it's wild.
But I think that can tie easily into what you've said in the past and how goaltending is different. You're not a quarterback. The game comes to you. You don't bring the game to them.
You can't throw the ball and touch it every play and influence the game as much. You have to just do your best for your team not to be affected, I guess.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's just, it's tough. It's a very well put together documentary. It's a side of Henrik Lundqvist that I've never seen. And I can't stress enough. If you like Hank at all, you got to go watch this.
Right. And who doesn't love Hank?
I've never met someone that doesn't.
Right. Everybody loves Hank.
Everyone loves. Literally everyone.
How
like
can
if,
you not?
If there's every woman in my life that doesn't even necessarily follow him or like him for his hockey skills
or watch hockey,
loves him because he's good.
Just knows
guy.
Who he is. Just knows who he is.
Yeah, that guy. That guy wears Louis.
100%.
And you know how
he wears
whatever
he wants.
Okay, I'm gonna spoil one thing. You know how we were joking the other day about he come in here and chew us apart and stand over top of us for like 2 hours.
100%.
And I was like, yeah, he's gonna fly in on his PJ to whatever, and then he's gonna jump in his Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he does.
Good.
But I think it's a Bentley, not a Rolls Royce. I'm not
good. I hope he does that, and I hope he comes on here and roasts us, because I would be honored.
So would I.
And we love Hank.
Yeah.
We don't love his top five goalies list.
Nope.
But we love Hank.
But his top five goalies list, according to Belfour 001's stats, isn't that far off.
No.
Because of Markey.
Right. Right,
I don't remember the rest of them.
Because of Markey, yeah. And I think he had Ullmark in his too, but I don't know because he's... We're like, oh, Mark's from Swedish. He's got him in there.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyways, so yeah, that's... I just wanted to get that out there. You got to go watch this.
That's good.
I'm specifically talking to you mostly, but you're
right.
50% of the people listening to me right now.
Right. I should probably, I'll end up watching it.
You'll like it.
That's sweet because I'm a hockey, we're hockey guys.